Hey, it's fantastic to be in church, and I don't know about you, but I really believe that the presence of God's all over this place this morning. And just as we were worshiping, I felt there are miracles in the atmosphere, and we need to be. You know, one of the greatest enemy of the church today, I think, is placidity. To be placid. The greatest enemy is to be placid. And God didn't die so we could be ordinary or normal. He came and God sent his son so you and I could live the greatest life of all. And it's Jesus exalting, and it's living on the edge of the exciting realm of the Holy Spirit, all right? So I don't know where you're at today, but we're going to pray and then we're going to launch it. Just before I do go there, online right now, get ready for God to touch you right in your living room, right wherever you are in your home today. The power of God comes right now in Jesus' name. So Lord, I declare and prophesy over this service. We activate the power of your love. We activate dissolve every anointing of the Holy Spirit and power that would shift us this morning, that would dissolve every doubt, that would release faith and stir up faith in our lives to live in the next season of our spirit. And in Jesus' name right now, I pray, God, that we activate right now hope, victory, breakthrough, and miracles in every life in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, give Jesus a huge hand clap right there. While you're standing and before you sit down, I just really felt this morning that one of the devil's greatest strategies in 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 19, I believe it is, it says that the Philistines removed all the blacksmiths from out of the Israelite nation. And they removed the blacksmiths for one reason, because they did not want them shaping up weapons. Now, I believe we need to be real men and women of the Word, okay? The Word of God will activate your life. It will cause you to have freedom in your life. And we are blacksmiths, friend. And I tell you, I really believe today, God said you're a blacksmith bringing the Word of God and hammering out some weapons, because when the Israelites didn't have any weapons, they could not win any battles. And I meet too many people who are under the hammer, not having victory in their lives. And I believe today is a day of victory for you in Jesus' name. And that's why we have to be. We cannot be lukewarm. We cannot be half-hearted. We've got to be on fire, and we've got to be shaping weapons. The Bible says the weapons of our word. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4 says the weapons of your warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of every stronghold, destroying every negative thought, pulling down every thought of failure and weakness and giving up. But God's given us the ability. In fact, in Joel 3:10, it says, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears, I think it says. But get ready for God to do some great stuff in your life. I really believe that we are. And friends, don't forget it. You're the church. Tonight we have, it's called Deeper, and it's all about the Word of God in your life. Without the Word, you are going to be attacked and taken out. This is why the devil's strategy is that you have no word in your life, that you have no sword, that you have no victory. And I really believe this is a word of God for the church in 2020. Let's rise up with the Word of God and get some victory in our lives, okay? Victory over sickness, victory over pain, victory over the attack of the enemy. He will attack you. Joyce Meyer talks about the battlefield of our mind. Let me tell you, if you have not experienced that even this week, you're probably not alive. In fact, check your pulse right now. See if anything's going on. But I tell you right now, there will be an attack on your mind, on your spirit, but we have the victory through Jesus Christ and through the living Word of God right now to live in victory over doubt, fear, anxiety, intimidation, and you can live in victory today. Amen? I believe it. I believe it. Give someone a high five as you take a seat. Give these guys a big hand clap. Thank you, guys. You're absolutely amazing. And absolutely amazing. That was just great worship. Hope you're enjoying worshiping God with us this morning. Like I said, the greatest enemy of the church is passivity. And I really believe, you know, depassionate people sort of suck the energy out of you. And so let's get passionate about God, okay? Have an espresso or something, but get passionate about God. Otherwise, life can very easily become stagnant, and your Christianity should never be stagnant. It should be the most alive thing in your world, okay? And I want to preach about that this morning. I want to title my message today, Burn the Plow. And for some of you, that may even give you a picture right now, but burn the plow. And what I've done, I've brought along a packet of matches and just to excite you this morning, okay? And matches are fun. When I was a kid, these things were like, this was better than any Christmas present you'd ever get. These things were gold, man. You could get some matches and some of Dad's 90-whatever octane out of his big tank he had on the farm. We could have a ball. At least it was exciting. It was fiery and passionate. And so today I've brought along a pack of matches and just to stir you up. It's an illustrated sermon today. And here we go. Look, there we go. Look at that puff of smoke. Hope that doesn't set the alarm off. That would ruin the whole thing, wouldn't it, really, if I said. But I'll blow it out before it does. Oh, my goodness. Okay. But Julia and I got born again into the fire of God. A great preacher who was equipped by a man called Smith Wigglesworth, guy George Thomas, said to Julia and I one day as we sat in his living room being discipled by this incredible, fiery man of God who was incredibly passionate about the things of the Spirit. He said to Julia and I, you guys were born in the fire. You can never live in the smoke. And sadly to say, can you smell the smoke from there? That is frightening. Okay. And there are detectors right above me right here. But Julia and I got born again into the fire. Everything changed, friend. We got born again. We accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, and everything changed. That's 47 years ago right now. 45 years ago when Christ came into our lives. And we woke up. I want to tell you, the next morning we woke up, everything was different. Everything in our lives, the way we lived life, the way we did marriage, the way we raised our kids, the way we behaved in life. Steve, is that? No, it's not Steve. I thought I saw Steve Summers here for a while. But anyway, it was just a very exciting moment in our lives. And the next morning when we woke up, everything was different. And I tell you what, never let it get back to normal. I remember Julia and I, and we were born again. Even. We were kind of different. And I don't know why it was even. We were kind of new to this and new to the Word of God. And yet the exciting passion of this book shifted something in our lives. And where we had been and where we'd been consistently struggling and trying to push through could never quite attain it. And I believe there's somebody here this morning right now and you're in a battle in your own life and you can't quite reach what you would desire to attain. You're self feeling fulfilled. He's taking a photo of me. I just had to get that happening. But I'll tell you right now, here's the deal. I remember the day we decided and we grabbed our, well, it's old now because it was a few years ago, but we grabbed our TV and we cut it out on the front lawn and we were born again now, you know. Stuff was happening in our lives. It was too exciting to live the life we'd been living. It was something had shifted. We didn't want to be where we were any longer. We wanted to enjoy this incredibly exciting adventure. And I remember cutting the TV out on the front lawn, all our beautiful LPs. I still almost weep thinking about it now. LPs, those 33.5-inch sort of vinyl things that are worth a fortune now, of Deep Purple and Black Sabbath and all the great songs of the past and all that stuff. And I remember taking it all out and we put it on the TV and we got the kids throwing bricks at the TV. I was a builder, so we had a few bricks around. Then we tipped every bit of alcohol we had all over the whole lot and set fire to the whole lot. You can imagine the neighbors looking on and seeing. Now, I don't recommend anybody do this, okay? Nobody should do this. I've already lit a match, but nobody should do this. Like, it was crazy. But I want to tell you this. It was incredibly powerful in our life because what we did, we detached ourselves from the past and we made a commitment right there that we would be all in. Everybody yell out, all in. We were all in for the future, man. And I want to tell you, nothing more exciting than living an all-in life. And our theme right this morning is called All In. And I want to tell you, get ready for an all-in message because I'm going to challenge you a little bit this morning to live above and beyond and throw all into what we want to see God doing, okay? Full commitment. Everything changed in our lives. Our commitment, our finances changed. Everything changed in our world because we decided we'd be all in. And you can't live ordinary when you're living all in. God wants to. So here we are today. I've got a box of matches here. I'm going to give every single person that. Now, I hope none of you have got the opportunity to do what I did. We're not going to give you a box. We're going to give you all a match. I want you to remember this message. I want you to apply this to your life. So right now, hand them out if you would, people. Just a few to each row, and let's give people a match. You can have this one too. In fact, you guys can start handing them. I'll just send this because I don't want you to take the whole thing, you know. Otherwise, there might be people like me around. But it was... And the reason I give you the box of matches today is because my title is Burn the Plow. And it was no life, when we gave our lives to Christ, it was no longer about our agenda. Our agenda faded into insignificance. It was no longer about us. We were prepared to become nobodies in this incredible kingdom of God and see what He would do with our lives. And so we were all in, I want to tell you. Jesus died on the cross for us, and we decided, man, if Jesus would do that for me and take away my sin and give me a brand new start, we were going to live all in. And Julia and I made a commitment right there. There was no turning back, and so we burned the plow and we got going. In fact, just a few months later, we went to the obscure nation of Tonga. Now, this is all in, okay? It was a few months later. We were now living the life, I tell you, going for God, 100% all in would be the only word you'd use. And I remember coming home one day and saying to Julia, hey girl, we're out of here. We're going to tell you right to the Lord somewhere. And God had spoken to me as I drove to work that day. And I tell you right now, whoever it is in this place right now, where your life hasn't got an edge to it, decide today, I'm going to go all in for Jesus Christ. It's the best thing you'll ever do. We went all in for God. He took us. We arrived. I remember arriving in Tonga with our four kids and pretty much 16 bags and four kids, okay? We got rid of everything, sold up, left this nation and went. And once again, that's kind of out there. And we arrived there. And I always remember we started a rehabilitation project for prison. We started working in the prison, prison organization in Tonga, became great friends with the King of Tonga. In fact, had breakfast with the King of Tonga a few times, which was a very exciting moment, actually. You want to live exciting, just go all in. And I remember sitting at the end of a table, probably as long as this room almost, actually. He'd sit at that end, I'd sit at this end. Girls would come out dancing and playing instruments and what have you, and him and I would eat breakfast together. And it was very, very cool. And then on this day, I made a petition to the King. A little bit like, who's that guy in the Bible, the guy who made a petition, the wine toaster? Nehemiah. Nehemiah. I can always only remember him as a wine taster. In fact, I'll drink to that. Anyway, I made my petition to the King, and he gave us 50 acres of land right next to the international airport in Nuku'alofa. And we had 50 acres of land, and he said, look, I'm going to give it to you. You guys can start a rehabilitation project for our nation. And I remember it had this kind of jungle grass on it, almost as high as the ceiling, actually just as huge. It was all just covered in jungle grass. And I had all these prisoners who came in. I took them in. I said, we're going to disciple you guys and build something out of your lives. They had incredible problems in the prison there. And the crime rate was terrible. And we said, we can fix that because Jesus is the answer. And we would walk in, we decided we're going to have a revival in the meeting, and we literally did. We had a revival in the prison, and we would turn up and have a little meeting, and they gave us a little shed over the side of the prison, and we would have a meeting there. And then they decided that the room wasn't big enough, and the room got bigger and bigger, and we arrived at the prison one day, and the prisoners are all knocking the wall down. They're shaking the wall. And every one of them, we had a revival break out in Nukalofa for prison, and just hundreds of people got saved. And we had this rehabilitation center that we were doing, kind of just building people's lives and giving them something to do. And I thought, we've got to clear the land. So I had all these prisoners. Can you imagine it? And I said, guys, here's what we're going to do. I had a tractor and I cleared a fire break over there so it wouldn't get to the international airport. And then I said, so guys, we've got to keep the fire on this side. But those guys were like me when I was like 10 years old and they loved fire. And I was around the other side lighting fires, getting it burning across and away from the airport. And suddenly I looked up and there was this huge, like you can imagine, it was grass as high as this building on fire. The flames were like 40, 50 feet high and tearing toward the fuel containers at the international airport. And I remember running over and getting the tractor and charging up and down the boundary line at the airport trying to make a fire break. And anyway, the miracle is we did finally put that fire out. But there's nothing like a bit of fire in your life for a bit of passion. And so I believe God would even say, come on, set the place a lot. In fact, right now, even before I go one step further, God wants to do, in fact, here today, I'm going to pray for people. Pam is right there suffering right now and needing to get healed. And I declare over your life right now a healing miracle today in Jesus' name. In fact, if I could get to you, I should get to you really. And so excuse me, Mr. TV man, but I'm coming down here and we're coming right here and we're going to pray the power and blessing of God on this woman in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray right now that the comforting angels of the Holy Spirit would surround you today, that there would be a shift today that would happen in your spirit, and that God would set a light going that would shine His glory in every step you make, that your leg be totally healed and completely restored in Jesus' name. And right now, Lord, we activate the power of God in her life in Jesus' name. Whoever it is here, and I want to pray for people right now. I want to pray for people right now who feel like you are struggling to belong where God wants you. You're struggling to exist. You're struggling to be who God wants you to be. You're struggling to even have your own identity. You're struggling with your identity. It's like you walk into a room and you feel like you don't exist. There's people like that here right now. And I tell you, whoever you are, the enemy's come to steal your identity and to rip you off and to stop you being who God planned you to be. And today, God's going to totally do a miracle there, and you're about to have a wake-up call in your life, okay? And so get ready for that in Jesus' name. In fact, if that's you right now, you might not even want to, but I'm going to say just stand right where you are. If that's somebody here, stand right where you are, and because we're going to believe for a miracle happening right there, right now. I really felt today that this was like God said to me, I'm going to do miracles with these people's lives, okay? And you need miracles. I'll tell you what. Religion will never, ever bring victory to you, but the power of God will break victory into your life. So right now, as there's people standing alongside you, we're never here to judge. We're never here to try and work out why. We are here to participate. So quickly lay a hand on those people right now, right now. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Sorry to interrupt the message today, but we've got to do this. In Jesus' name right now, I declare over your lives that the power of the Holy Spirit would come and unlock you from the lies of the enemy in Jesus' name. From the lies of the enemy, that would be unshackled in the name of Jesus, that off your mind and off your spirit, that the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of every stronghold. And in Jesus' name right now, I destroy strongholds that have been built against you, that would try to intimidate you and hold you back from receiving the victory that Christ won for you on Calvary. So right now, I declare miracles. I pray right now against every disease that would try to intimidate and pull the life out of you. And in Jesus' name right now, I say, get off them in the name of Jesus. And right now, I declare the freedom of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus be upon you today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Give Jesus a huge applause right there. And there's a couple in this church I'm believing to have a baby, and for them to have a baby, and I want to pray for you, God. But I really feel if there's anybody here and you're struggling to get pregnant, I just feel an anointing here, not here obviously, but for people to get pregnant. Okay? But I'm just going to invite whoever that is right now, come up. In fact, you guys come up here. I know you're wanting to get a baby, so come on up. Don't want to embarrass you, but come on up. Is there somebody else, though? I really feel there's others, and I've been talking to these guys, and I believe there's a miracle here for them today, all right? Miracle. I'm not kidding. There's a miracle here for somebody. Is there anybody else who's struggling to get pregnant? Because come up. If you're under the age of 100, it can happen, apparently. Apparently, according to the Bible, that's it. Abraham and Sarah. You guys, we're going to Alex, you haven't even got a wife yet, have you?
Don't I haven't even got a girlfriend yet.
You haven't even got a girlfriend yet. Lord, we just speak of girlfriends. Okay. Okay, get this thing back into control. Hey, you two. I want you to stretch your hand. Look, honestly, I really believe this. I felt it at Life Group on Thursday, whatever it was. But I felt a real unction in the Holy Spirit, which, like God said, I'm going to do it. And here's what I want to say to you is that, man, I go to churches. This is serious. I go to churches. I went to a church a little while ago just before COVID to preach. And somebody, a woman came up to me and said, here, this is yours. And she gave me a baby. Which is freaky, because I don't remember anything happening. And she said, when you came to this church 12 months ago, we have been trying to get pregnant for 12 years at that stage, and you prayed for us, and here's the evidence of that day. And they said, seriously, we got pregnant almost immediately, and here we are in this little, they handed me this little 3-month baby. Right now, get ready for that to happen in your lives right now. Chris, Cara, get ready for it in Jesus' name. Lord, we stretch your hand because we are the church of the living God and we believe in the miraculous. And I prophesy over you right now, spirit of fertility, get on you in Jesus' name. On your womb right now, I prophesy the pitter-patter of little feet in Jesus' name. Running around your house, may she be a joy to your lives in Jesus' name. May it be an incredible day in your lives. And I pray right now, Lord, let an anointing get on them that releases the power of God right through their lives in Jesus' name. Just take that. The power of God's on you right there. In Jesus' name, Lord, let a miracle happen right there. Miracle in Jesus' name. Paul Harris, get ready. There's a miracle anointing in here this morning. That breaking stuff off people's lives. And in Jesus' name, we believe all over this place for your miracle to take place right now in Jesus' name. Burn the plow. Got your matches? Here we go, okay? I need to be quick now because I've done a whole lot of stuff. But I just want to read you this in 1 Kings chapter 19, and it's powerful stuff. In fact, this narrative is a very all-in powerful message. And it's dated in about 900 BC, and it's about a guy called Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah anoints Elisha. And it was a time in the with the nation of Israel where people had slipped away from their relationship with God. They'd gone cold, they'd gone lukewarm, they'd even begun worshipping idols, and they'd got totally off course. And it's amazing, without the blacksmith beating the hammer of the Word of God and shaping us to have weapons that would keep us sharp, we seem to drift. We seem to drift. It's just the way we are. Anyway, Elisha is called, and here's how it happens, okay? In 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 19, it says this. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, and he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. And Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. And Elisha then left the oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my mother and father goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? In other words, mate, if you haven't caught it yet, get yourself under the presence of God. He was saying, man, I've got nothing to do with you. If you can't catch it just with that impression of God on your life when I threw that cloak on you, what are you doing? 21 says, so Elisha left him and went back, and he took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them, and he burned the plowing equipment. Now, the amazing thing is, before Julia and I burned up our stuff, we'd never read that. But when I read this, I thought, boy, good call. At least it's biblical. He burned the plowing equipment and cooked the meat and gave the people and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. I love that. That's a word of God. And this is like, let's burn the plow and leave the past. Let's live all in. Be careful how I hold those two matches up. Never know, someone get offended. In Luke, Jesus, I'm going to go to John. We're going to miss that. John chapter 14, verse 12, it says this, Jesus said this, not only will you do what I have done, but greater works than these will you do because I go to the Father. I want to just give you three keys today about burning the plow in your life, and I want this to be a message that you would take with you. Number one, the first point I want to give you, all in is an invitation to a higher calling. All in is an invitation to a higher calling. I do not want to live in the mediocre of what life would have to go. I want to live in the calling of God. So it's interesting because Elisha wasn't expecting this call. Elisha didn't have a clue that God had spoken to Elijah and said, go down there and anoint this young man called Elisha. And the amazing thing to me, he doesn't appear to have done anything to deserve it. He was just an ordinary guy doing life. And there's something about, I love people who know how to do life and who love God and just do life. And there was no significance on his life. If you were looking for someone significant, and Elijah would have been thinking, who will I anoint? Kakasi Dobra, I just see the Vitalis in the house. But Elijah, the guy who was anointing him, it's interesting this, because he had just been through a season of depression. And he was running away. He was on the run. And God says, I want you to anoint someone to fulfill what I've put on your life. I want this to continue. And God wants everything he's done to continue. He doesn't want it stopping with you. He wants it to continue, which is why we've got this all-in season where we're coming alive and we're inviting people and we're moving in the power of God. And I want to tell you right now, let's get ready for what God has wanting to do in our lives, okay? Well, you can if you want to, okay? And you imagine Elisha, I often think of it, for every day it was the same old, same old. Now I meet people all the time and they say this to me, oh, I'm bored with life, it's same old, same old. And people tell me they're bored with their job, they don't like their weird job or whatever, there's not enough Christians in our job or whatever. Weird stuff, you know, it always weirds me out that. I have always loved every role of it. In fact, me and John have turned back into construction builders now. We're fixing this building up for the last 2 weeks and loving it. He's my apprentice. and we're just having fun doing some repairs to the roof and stuff. But for every day for Elisha, it was the same old, same old. He had 12 yoke of oxen. He was out there just plowing, doing the farming deal, and same view, same smell probably. And every day, just the old monotony of life, following these 12 yoke of oxen in front of him. You can imagine it, okay? So his life wasn't bad, it was just monotonous. And a lot of people I meet are living this kind of monotonous life. And I want to say this to you today, learn to enjoy the monotony of where God's got you right now. Make the most of where you're at right now. Because too many people are looking for something better all the time. But I reckon the key for Elisha is that he was enjoying where he was right now. And when you love where you are right now, there's a comfort zone about you that causes the presence of God to invade your life and give you a higher calling. So it was an invitation to a higher calling. The all-in. He was all-in with his plow, man. 12 yoke of oxen. That's not for. That's no meager task. You've got to be pretty on to it as a farmer to drive those oxen. So he was all in. And I want to say today, be all in wherever you are. If you're an accountant today, be all in. If you're a school teacher today, be all in. Because you will affect and change lives all over this nation just by being all in right where you are right now. One of the greatest days of my life was being a builder and just being all in. I still meet people today who say, Don, I remember when you were on our work site. How could they not? Mostly because I do pretty radical stuff, but be all in and have fun while you're doing it, okay? have fun while you're doing it. I remember going to a cafe down here, and I said a while ago now, but I went to a cafe and I walked in there and I was trying to teach a guy about evangelism. And I said, mate, you're far too intense. You're just intense. De-intensify. And I said to him, I said, I'll show you how it's done. And we were just sitting having a coffee and I said, I'll show you how it's done. And I got off and I got up from my chair and I just went over to this group and I went over and I said, hi, my name's Don McDonnell. It's good, great to meet you. And this guy said, yeah, I know you. And I'd forgotten him, but he knew me. And he said, man, I worked on a building site with you 20 years ago, and I still remember you, he said. You were the guy that prayed for my knee one day, and my knee got healed on the building site. And he said, I've never had a problem with that knee since. And see, the reality is, enjoy where you're at. Be who you are. That's why you've got to get rid of that spirit of intimidation that would hold you back and just be who you are, okay? And so like this guy Elijah, see, maybe God is calling you today not to leave where you are, but to turn up more excited where you are. See, a lot of people, they want to, you know, I've got to move on. This is not good enough, whatever, I'm bored here. But just let's turn up more excited than we've ever been. Yeah. That could be the best point today, really. Turn up more excited. Turn up with expectation. Turn up with a couple of matches or something. But get a fire going in your life and get something exciting happening in your world, okay? And so maybe God's not calling you to leave or drop out. Maybe he's calling you to step up. Maybe God's just saying, if you step up, I'll send an Elijah to come and prophesy over you and turn your entire life into another dimension, okay? Who knows what season is waiting for us right now, okay? In Luke chapter 16 and verse 10, it says, God calls us when we are being faithful with the little. When we're being faithful with the little. For me, it's about being behind the plow and not being dragged. That's my life has always been, hey, I'm behind the plow, but I refuse to let those 12 yoke drag me. I'm going to be at attention. I'll be going with it. I'm going to be excited about the moment I'm in. So live your life. If it's behind the plow, if it feels like life's a drudgery, then be excited to be there and don't be dragged along by it, because you will live in a greater dimension. In fact, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says this, run with perseverance the race that is set before you. Run with perseverance. That's with a little bit of energy, okay? That's an energy that causes you to live bigger and go further, okay? My second point today is the all in life requires a deeper surrender. The all in life requires a deeper surrender. It's like, I don't care what it is. If it's your marriage, man, if you've just got married, then you better be fully all into that and deeply surrendered. Honestly, Julia and I have been married now for a long time. I think it's, I think we've been married for 46 years. Is that true, baby? Look at that. Okay? 46 years. We're as passionate today as we were back then, okay? And one of those reasons is that we are living fully all in. All in. Just be real and be all in, friends. It'll be the best thing you ever did. And so that's what I like about this guy, Elisha. He said, I'm going to make sure there's no second thoughts. There's no turning back. There's no turning back. So he says to Elijah, he says, hang on a minute. I'm going back. He goes back. He gets his plow and he sets that thing on fire. He kills the bullocks, puts them on top, makes a barbecue for everybody. There's no going back to that plowing. They're all dead. There's no returning to that lifestyle. He was apparently a farmer and a pretty good doing good farmer, but he left it all behind and he said, God, I'm going after you. Now, I'm not saying anybody should leave everything behind, but I am saying we need to be passionate about our going after Christ. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, okay? So he said, I'm making sure there's going to be no turning back. So he burned it all up, and I love that, man, that he just had the passionate spirit that says, I'm going to make sure that if it turns bad, if it goes bad, I ain't going back. There's nothing. Burn your bridges behind you. See, a lot of people have got bridges of hurt, disappointment, unforgiveness, all sorts of things that we leave constructed, And when stuff happens in our life, we think it's a good. Even the Israelites said, man, we better go back to the garlic and onions. I mean, are you kidding me? That was when they were slaves, and yet they wanted to go back. So many examples in the Bible of people who turned back. Let's not turn back. Let's push on in what God's got for us. Right now, with COVID-19 happening and lots of disappointing stories, but let's be people of faith who refuse to turn back, but let's keep pushing on. I want to encourage you today. I want to stir you up. He burned the plow and he said, goodbye, past. I'm moving on. And I want to tell you, I declare today that God is the greatest leader you'll ever have in your life. And if you allow him to have total leadership over your world, over your life, over your marriage, over your finances, you will live in complete victory. You will live in complete victory. And I think a lot of people never live the greater life because they get so hooked into the mundane of their past, the pain of their past. You meet people all the time and they're still talking about what happened to them yesteryear. I mean, my goodness. I mean, I love meeting people who are talking about the future, what's going to happen in the next season. You know, let's not get tied up at the horror of all this COVID stuff, but let's push on. Hey, we're going to go again. In fact, that'd be a good message there, just go again. Okay, get ready to go again and do something great with what God's given you. And, you know, I think a lot of people also want to play it safe. I think, honestly, if you want to see the miraculous of God, you can. I need to play it safe. This guy is saying, if I want to live greater, I need to burn those things which would try to tie me into yesterday. And it's amazing, you know, we want to have it all written out. We want to have it all like detailed. God, what's going to happen in next year? What's going to happen the year after that? But God says, do you trust me? And we've had to learn, Julia and I have had to learn to trust in Jesus. We've had to learn to give him ultimate keyway into our lives and say we will trust you no matter what. And there's been some things that have happened there that have been like when our son got tragically killed. That was a day when, hey, your world goes crazy. If you don't have a trust in Jesus there, I want to tell you, everything could fall out. In fact, you could look around and say, can we go back? Where's that plow? We want to go back there. But if it ain't there, then you just got to keep going forward. Lift up your eyes. Focus on him. He has the answer, and he has everything already sorted out. Everything already sorted out, okay? So the deeper life doesn't start with you drawing plans for your next dream home. The deeper life starts when you say, God, I'm going to totally trust you with my next season and my next step, and it starts right here today. That's where I find that God operates in my life anyway. And, we love the details. We love to have it all explained. We love to get down right into the depths of it. Some of us just need to live life trusting Jesus and believing that he is our victory. Simple as that, really. With your finances, I would say the greatest thing Julia and I ever did was trust Jesus with our finances. Just the greatest miracle we ever came across. And you know, I meet people who are there upset about tithing or 10% or whatever they try to work it out. It never, ever was about that with us. It was about Jesus set us free and he's our Lord and Savior. And reality is our lives were not doing great before he came along. And when he came along, everything turned around. Man, we owe him so much, man. The grace of God, forgiveness is victory in our life. Number three, here we go, the final point today. The all in life is the key to greater things. I love that. The all in life is the key to greater things. And Jesus said, greater works than these will you do because I go to the Father. One man approached Jesus and he said, man, how does it all work? What's the greatest commandment in the Bible? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And then he added this. Thank you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now that's an all-in command right there. Because sometimes your neighbor's not that easy to love. But Jesus is saying, this is the way to salvation if you can love your neighbor as yourself. Without judging, without trying to push them down, but just loving them with an open heart. That's a word of God, friends. This guy, Elisha, he gets anointed. And I would just love to anoint everybody in the house this morning, really. That was one of my, and I thought, well, the matches will be easier. Let's just get matches. And so you're holding those matches right now. That means we're going to burn the stuff of the past, and we're going to trust God with our future, and we're going to grab a hold of some fire in our belly, and we're going to believe that this season will be the greatest one in our lives. Anybody with me? Because here's the deal. Elijah became it. You don't even hear anything of him. For a long time, you don't hear anything about Elisha. He's just a servant. Then he becomes a protege. And he runs around. Then he says to Elijah one day, he says, man, don't leave me. When you go, I want what's on your life. I want the double portion of what's on your life. And Elisha said this to Elisha. Boy, that's confusing. Elijah said this to Elisha. He said, if you see me when I go, that's about focus, guys. I'm focused on the miraculous. I'm so focused you wouldn't believe it. I'm focused on a move of God in my generation. I'm focused on stirring into the hearts of young men and women to carry on the fire and passion of God into the next season of our world, okay? And we need people who are fired up, friend. But this guy, Elisha, he did that. He literally went after it. The Bible says he caught the mantle when it came down. He picked it up and he said, where now is the God of Elijah? And he went, and the Bible records that he did exactly twice as many miracles as what Elijah did. And I think it all started with just a deep surrender. It all started, man, I'm going to be totally sold out. I want to be all in for this. And if you want to go deeper in God today, and I believe we do. I believe we need to. I believe we need the Word of God like never before. But if you want to go deeper in God, it'll be all about your dependence on Him and your obedience. Horrible and frightening word, but it's called obedience, okay? And obedience will take you into, because God speaks to every one of us. I am 100,000% convinced that God speaks to every one of us. He'll speak to you right now. It mightn't be a word I'm saying. He might say something more clever than what I'm saying. But God will speak to you, and it's what you will do with Him speaking to you. Because it's all about obedience right now. This guy, Elisha, I love it, because he raised twice as many from the dead as what Elijah had done. We need some people doing a bit of that. Come on. Healing cancer. Cleaning out hospital wards. Come on, this is what the Bible's about. This is what it's all about. Listen, with one sentence, Elisha went in and changed the economy of an entire city just with one sentence. He walked in there, true prophet, not like the ones today that are telling you Jesus coming back next week or whatever, a true prophet who went in and he said, hey, the economy of this city is going to change next week. And it changed. That's a miracle right there. This is the sort of guy he was. And it all started just with being deeply surrendered to Jesus Christ. You've got to, and I want to challenge you today. Where are you at? What do you need to set fire to today? You've got you've got one match probably. You've probably only got one. I'm the only one with two, all right? One. One's a better thing to hold up, actually. And, I don't know whether it is. Probably should have had three. But holding up these matches right now, as I hold them up, what do you maybe need to set fire to today? Maybe it's that grudge you've been holding for way too long. Maybe today it's that shackle of unforgiveness that you need to just say, I'm going to burn. Maybe it's your relationship with Christ. Maybe today you're far away from God. You're here today and you don't have a relationship with Christ. And you're saying, man, I need to burn my past life up and just get on fire for God. A life lived on fire. A lot of people talk about a person who's on fire. There's nothing like the best people to hang around are people who have got the Word of God in one hand, the fire of God in the other, and they're marching forward. Just excited about the future. That's where I'm at. I'm excited about the future. Never one day in my life since being born again have I dropped off that thing. And I want to tell you right now, the power of God's here to ignite people today. Maybe today it's pain. Maybe it's rejection that you need to light fire to today and say, I'm leaving that right where it was. Rejection may have held you too many years. And you say, maybe it's religion. See, religion can grip you and it can hold you. And that way you don't have a freedom in your life to say, God, I'm going to surrender my life to you. Because religion will demand it's all about rules and regulations. But Jesus said, I came to set you free. And there's nothing like the freedom of Christ in your life, the most exciting realm you'll ever live in reality. And I want to challenge you today. Maybe you need to set fire to some things in your world. There's no plan B, friend. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's the true answer to the gospel today. So maybe today, maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's a relationship I want you today that God's speaking to you about. And he's saying, hey, I want you to burn that. I want you to get rid of that. Not that you go burning people, all right? Just don't get me wrong there. You understand what I'm saying. And I want to leave you today with the thought, you're holding a match in your hand right now. Maybe today it's people who are influencing your life in the wrong way. I remember my mother saying to me, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Almost biblical. And I remember Mum saying, man, you need to shift some stuff there. Shift rejection out of your life. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes right now. Let's decide today that we're going to leave it here, that we're going to burn the plow, that we're going to leave it all behind, that we're not going to carry any of it with us until the next season. Julie and I burned our LPs. Surely you can burn some stuff today. What is it that you need to drop off here at the altar today and say, God, I'm leaving it right there? Maybe today it's, God, I need to recognize your call in my life like Elisha did. And it says that Elisha responded to the call and he said, yes, God, I'm going to follow you. And he followed a prophet by the name of Elijah. I don't think there were any blazing stars or flashing lights. It was just a decision he made. And maybe today you're in this meeting and you don't have a relationship with your Creator, the Almighty God. Maybe you're here and you say, man, I just need to get right with God, Don. That's just where it's at with me. I just need to get right with God. What can I do that? Well, I want to give you an opportunity today to say yes to Jesus. Maybe to leave it all behind and say, Jesus, I'm going to get rid of the past out of my life and I'm living a new life and I'm going to surrender my whole life to you.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. We pray that you would activate something in your life and shift your life towards Jesus. If you like what you heard and you want to hear more, just click follow. We love you. Have a blessed week.